Don't want to take you too far into the weeds here, but I will say that the kickoff is going to look completely different than all of us as football fans know it to be.
Hester starts at the 10, veering right.
Forget it! Nobody's going to get up! Devin Hester, you are ridiculous!
Here's Cribbs, head into the open field! Here he comes, running to a 20! 10, 5, touchdown!
Welcome to NFL Live, where the headline from the league meetings today could mean that the return of players like Deion Sanders, Devin Hester, and Dante Hall to your TV screens this fall could happen. The owners approved a rule change to all kickoffs on a one-year trial basis, the goal being to see more returns in a safer fashion on the field next fall. Jeff Darlington explains what it'll look like.
Under the new rule, the kicker would remain in his normal spot. The rest of the kickoff team would line up on the receiving team's 40-yard line, and the receiving team would line up 5 yards away on their 35-yard line. Nobody would be allowed to move past those lines until the ball is touched or reaches the target zone, the area from the 20-yard line to the goal line. The next proposal would also impact the kickoff. After only 5.2% of onside kicks were recovered in 2023, and just two surprise onside kicks, the competition committee is looking for some give and take. The new rule would allow the kicking team to utilize an unbalanced formation, with six players on one side of the kicker and four on the other to raise the odds of a recovery. But in order to do so, the kicking team would be required to declare their intentions of an onside kick before the play. That's necessary since that other kickoff proposal has a new setup zone. As a result of these proposals, touchbacks could also change. If the ball is kicked into the end zone, the receiving team gets it at the 35-yard line. If the ball is kicked into the target zone and rolls into the end zone, the receiving team possession would start at the 20-yard line.
Well explained, some nice visuals there. And if you're wondering what a kickoff return for a touchdown will look like under these new rules, we'll check out Fred Brown of XFL's San Antonio Brahmas, who had this 96-yard return for a score. It was the lone kickoff return touchdown in the league last season, but pretty exciting either way. Let's get to Jeff Darlington. He's there at the league meetings. And Jeff, you did extensive reporting on this new rule leading up to its approval. What more can you add here?
Well, I can tell you that this has been the talk at the annual meeting. This is a major change, and teams recognize it from a terms of strategy to the way that simply the kickoff is going to look in the future. Now, the vote was 28-3, so only three teams were not in favor of it. 28, though, showing their support. Chiefs coach Andy Reid saying that he believes that it'll make the game more interesting and more exciting. Mike Tomlin, the Steelers head coach, saying that it is certainly something that will be radical change. Now, we did hear from two special teams coordinators who actually were very involved in creating this play, which is going to look like the play from the XFL, both of which believe that this is a very important day for the NFL.
We feel this is a great day for the NFL. You know, we've taken a play that's essentially been dying over the course of the last few years, and in our opinion, we've revived it. And, you know, in a year where obviously you have a player going into the Hall of Fame, with Devin Hester going to the Hall of Fame as a kick returner, it's kind of ironic that this happens to be that year that we're bringing this play back. And there are some components of this play, the hybrid kickoff, that mirrors some of the images that you're going to see from XFL. At the same time, there's a lot of differences. And we felt, you know, John and myself, when we first started this thing, we felt like they got a lot of things right, and there was a lot of really good things about the XFL. At the same time, we felt there was a lot of things that they could have done better. And so I think that's when you look at the modifications we've made.
The kickoff returner value is going to skyrocket because of the amount of times that guy's going to have his hands on the ball. So I think that's going to be something that one of the reasons maybe we wanted to get this done now is because the draft's coming up and it didn't want to be tabled until May.
You heard Fossil say it right there. That is the reason why the league really wanted to push this through. Rich McKay, the chairman of the competition committee, also saying that it was imperative that teams could go into the NFL draft recognizing that kick returners are now going to be coveted. Last season, 22% of kickoff returns were returned. This year, McKay projects that 50 to 60% of kickoffs will be returned. So a dramatic increase, a dramatic level of importance now on the kickoff, Laura.
Yeah, Jeff, as you said off the top of the show, it's going to look completely different and really can factor in a big way in the game. Definitely a huge change. Now, somebody who could help with this, new on NFL Live, this from Adam Schefter, former Falcons running back Cordarrelle Patterson reaching an agreement on a 2-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers continue to add firepower per sources. Patterson, of course, reunites with his former head coach, Arthur Smith. And again, with these new rules around returning kicks, Patterson could factor in a big way for the Steelers with that. Also, as Jeff alluded to, looking toward the draft. But we continue with the annual league meetings in effect, full effect down in Orlando this week today. You see all the coaches there. The NFC coaches had media availability from some quarterback talk in Dallas and New York to the Bears and the Commanders at the top of the draft. We have so much to get to. We're going to get to all of it. The NFL draft, less than a month away, and all signs continuing to point to the Bears taking Caleb Williams number one overall. Oh, look at him. He says, come get me. Why not? Chicago continues to do all the vetting of the quarterback, spending lots of time with him up close and personal at the combine, but also at the Pro Bowl and at his pro day. This morning, head coach Matt Eberflus talked about his time with Williams at the pro day last week.
I started out about an hour and 20 minutes, just him and I in the room together, and just really hearing his journey, from being a little guy. And what I gleaned from that was how his mother and father love him very much and very supportive. And, you could see his character, his football character there, his football knowledge as I talked through that. And it was a really good visit.
Jeff Darlington back with us. Jeff, what is the buzz down there in Orlando when it comes to Chicago and that number one overall pick?
Well, the cloak of mystery that we try to create going up to the draft definitely feels like it is diminished given the fact that the Justin Fields trade did occur and the way that Eberflus is talking about Caleb Williams. Something else that he mentioned was that they actually went out to dinner. The Chicago Bears hosting a dinner for Williams and his wide receiver teammates. And something that they said that they loved about it was to see Williams interacting with his teammates at that dinner. They could tell the amount of respect that he gets from his teammates. So by all means, Caleb Williams at this point is checking every single box. It feels like we are headed like a freight train toward hearing Williams' name drafted as the number one overall pick. I know we'll continue to, I guess, wonder, but based on the way that they are talking about him, it would be a shock if they did not wind up drafting Caleb Williams.
Toot, toot. Caleb Williams train. Thanks to Jeff. If the Bears stay at one, it will be the first time in team history that they've drafted first overall. Their highest pick is Mitch Trubisky. That was at second overall in 2017. Now, as we continue our draft talk, here's a look at Mike Tannenbaum's top three picks in his latest mock draft. And no surprise that they are the top three quarterbacks in this draft. Caleb Williams going number one to the Bears. Then Drake May goes two to the Commanders. Jaden Daniels goes three to the Patriots. And as for that plan at number two, let's zero in on that. Commanders reporter John Kime posted this morning, head coach Dan Quinn said he's just now getting into draft work. Said, if anyone thinks they know what the Commanders are doing at two, they really don't know. Quote, GM Adam Peters and I aren't there yet, he said. Let's bring in Tim Hasselbeck to the conversation here on NFL Live. And Tim, is there any choice besides taking a quarterback here for Washington?
I don't think so. When you look at their current roster and it's Marcus Mariota and Jake Fromm on the right, like that's they're going quarterback at some point. I mean, most people believe that it's at two. I think that it'll be at two. I don't believe that there is a case to not go quarterback. Obviously, when you have a regime change, it's often a good time to restart at quarterback. And so I think it really should be a foregone conclusion that that's the direction they head.
Yeah, I know that you like Drake May a lot, so you're probably in line with Tannenbaum here for that number two pick. Who do you think it should be for the Commanders and why?
Laura, I do think if Drake May's still available, which it sounds like he will be, I think he's the pick. Like I believe he's the best quarterback prospect in this class, and I know that there are other talented prospects in the class, like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, as well as other guys later in the first round, but I think he's the type of player that checks so many boxes in the evaluation process of what you can potentially do with him, the control you can give him at the line of scrimmage. I think he's going to be a better pro than college player. And I think he projects to be a guy that's a decade plus starter at the position. And so, look, you have to wonder a little bit, on the fit in terms of what they want to do offensively. I will say, if you think about 2 years ago, Phil Longo was offensive coordinator at North Carolina. It's a spread system. It's a kind of a Lincoln Riley, Cliff Kingsbury derivative. And that was his best year in college. And he certainly has the athleticism to play in that style of offense.
That's a really good point. People reference that year as the best year, and the offense would fit with what the Commanders may want to do. We got a lot more to get to here on NFL Live. Tim coming back, and we got a whole lot more. We're going to talk about the 49ers. Their wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, he has expressed his displeasure with his current contract with the team. So should San Fran give him a big payday? We'll talk about that. Plus, the Giants pick 6 in this year's draft. Should they take a quarterback? Moving on from an injured Daniel Jones, hear why Tim thinks it's time for a big change in New York. NFL Live is brought to you by Applebee's Boneless Wings. Now only 50 cents each. Available dine-in, delivery, and to-go.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
The 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit is less than a month away, April 25th, 26th, and 27th. And we'll have every pick once again on ESPN, along with our usual expert analysis. As always, ABC's coverage focuses on the prospects' journey to the draft and their stories. And complete coverage can also be found on NFL Network. We can't wait to be there. NFL Live will be there as well. Time to read and react to some stories coming out of the owners' meetings today. We start in Minnesota, where yesterday, head coach Kevin O'Connell talked about Justin Jefferson's input on the quarterback situation, saying, quote, "I felt very strongly about keeping him informed. He's been in the loop. He's been aware. He's allowed to articulate things to me via our relationship, and that's really been through this whole process." Now, today, O'Connell talked more about the quarterback options the Vikings are considering.
If you end up falling in love with multiple quarterbacks in a draft, that's an even better thing, especially when you did something like we did to acquire pick 23, really for the flexibility of what we think is a really good draft. You know, everybody's making a big point about the quarterback position. I think that's real. Two picks, okay. And this is a really deep,
all right. Thank you for that.
Deep draft.
Journalism.
I should say very deep draft.
Good journalism, Pat. Tim, how should Minnesota go about bolstering the quarterback room around their young All-Pro wideout?
Well, I think Kevin O'Connell's off to a good start. I think it's pretty big news that he said that he's involving Justin Jefferson in it. It's a good idea. 2 years ago, he had 128 catches. Look, a guy like that whose contract is, needs to be extended. Look, I think that keeping him involved in the process is important. You know, there's been talk about trades, whether it's Minnesota moving up and drafting quarterback, or maybe, Mike Tannenbaum in his most recent mock draft, a trade with Arizona to get Kyler Murray in Minnesota. So I think they need to do something. They can't go into the year with the current quarterbacks on their roster and think that that'll keep Justin Jefferson happy.
That's a nice teaser, because Tannenbaum's mock is coming up very soon on NFL Live. To San Francisco next, where there is still no long-term deal in place for wideout Brandon Ayuk. And Ayuk took to Instagram yesterday, posting a message in all emojis. And we'll translate for you here. Money talks, bull bleep, walk. So GM John Lynch was asked about his star receiver.
We're actively talking to Brandon, trying to figure something out. And,
I always talk, we have a good history of working with the guys we want to get done to get something done, and it takes two sides, so can we do that? We'll see. There's a number of different directions, you know, that it could go, but we appreciate the heck out of Brandon and who he is as a player, and we want him to be a part of the Niners, so we're going to work towards making that a reality.
Ta-da! Hawk is here. How should this play out in San Francisco?
They're going to pay him. They have to pay him. He's their number one wide receiver. He is the insurance policy on the eventual down payment that they're going to put on Brock Purdy. He's on a rookie deal. We know he's going to get paid. And Deebo Samuel has been amazing for the 49ers. But when you watch this past game, specifically last season, and you see the chemistry that Brandon Ayuk is developing with their quarterback, you can't help but make sure that he's in place. But when Brock Purdy is at his very best, he has his number one target and the person that he thrives most with on the outside, secure for the long term.
To Atlanta next, where new head coach Raheem Morris sat down with Adam Schefter to reflect on his time with Kirk Cousins back in Washington.
What is the one thing you remember about Kirk Cousins as a rookie quarterback, being that you were Washington's defensive backs coach when you used a fourth-round draft pick on the former Michigan State quarterback?
You know, I really remember the draft conversations in total. You know, I remember how much Mike Shanahan loved the processor. I remember how much he loved the footwork, the accuracy, the thrower, the guy that he was, along with Kyle. I remember that whole process. Matt LaFleur was our quarterback coach at the time, so I got some real good detailed conversations around even going into the pick. You know, we had just taken RG3 at the number two pick. We knew he was our guy. But when we got to the fourth pick, it was a guy you just couldn't pass up on because of how much affection the building had for him and bringing him in. And obviously, those guys were right. And then I remember the guy coming into the room and being a backup. And just so happened, he did it in this little odd O-line room next to us when everybody left. And he would be in his room studying in his zone. And I would sit in my defensive back room across from him. And I would see him at all times of night just going through the process of what the offense was, going through the plays, looking at his tape, reviewing his stuff, and being able to walk down the hallway where Kyle Shanahan was on the exact opposite end and talk to those guys about it. And their quarterback room was there. So I was Mr. Nosy Guy all the time, and I would end up in that room all the time with RG3, Kirk Cousins, and whoever the backup was at the time. We went through a couple of guys, but I remember being to go down there and just sit in that room and really be a part of it, really be a part of the whole process of what he did as a rookie. Watching him support as a backup, watching him stay ready. He never had to get ready to take a start because he stayed ready throughout the season. And that's what I remember the most from Kirk.
And now he's your quarterback.
And he drove a really bad van, a minivan back then. It was awesome. We gave him a lot of teasing then.
Well, I think he could afford to upgrade that minivan now.
I believe he already has, but he's still a very unique, humble guy. And he's very detailed. He's very meticulous about his business, and it's shown over the years.
You know, minivans can be really practical. Adam, what did you take away from your time with Morris?
Well, first of all, I think he missed his calling because he could have been a TV analyst very easily.
So good.
And if this head coaching opportunity doesn't work out in Atlanta, there's a spot at ESPN open for Raheem Morris, who is a charismatic, very, very well-spoken individual. Love listening to him. And I think he's so excited about this opportunity. Everybody's so excited for him because of how many people supported him. The support he had for that job was incredible. And he comes in, and he is incredibly thankful to be in that position, not only as a head coach, but as a head coach that just now signed Kirk Cousins, that takes over a roster that can win, a roster that can make noise not only in the NFC South, Laura, but in the NFC. So Raheem Morris knows he gets a head coaching job, and he gets a job with a team that can be very competitive. And if it doesn't work out, he can come join us here on ESPN.
Win-win, right? By the way, you mentioned that Falcons team and that offense. They were the only team with a top 10 pick at running back, wide receiver, and tight end on their roster last season. So Cousins has some serious weapons to work with in Atlanta. Adam, don't go anywhere because you're coming up right after this. More from the NFL owners' meetings on the new kickoff model. Adam's going to tell us what Commissioner Roger Goodell said today on why the change was needed. You don't want to miss this, plus some other news out of Orlando. We'll be right back on NFL Live.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, Who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back to our top story on NFL Live, coming out of the annual league meetings today as a new kickoff rule was adopted for the league. The rule, which is in the vein of the XFL kickoff rules, should lead to an increase in kickoff returns over previous seasons. The basics include the coverage team lining up further downfield and not being able to start running till the ball is caught. Balls kicked in the end zone in the air now come out to the 30-yard line. It's going to look completely different, probably a little bit jarring visually at first, but safety certainly in mind here. Adam Schefter is down at the league meetings where this all went down today. Adam, what's the reaction been down there today to this new rule?
Well, Laura, that is the biggest reaction from the NFL. The league believes it will be a safer play that's akin to a running or passing play because the play doesn't start until the receiver catches the football and the players are lined up closer together so the collisions are not as violent. The league also believes it's going to increase the return rate, that the field position is going to be better, which is going to help scoring. But make no mistake about it, it is a radical rule change, as radical as the league has seen in some time, and it's going to try it out this year to see how it works. But clearly there's a lot of people who are supporting this, because without this particular play, it's possible that the kickoff could have gone and died, just gone out of the game. And the league didn't want that, and they're looking to have a little bit of added life, excitement, points, productivity added back into the game. And they believe by implementing the new radical kickoff that is a mimic of what's gone on in the XFL in the past, that all those factors will be accomplished. It'll be a safer play, there'll be more returns, and it'll be more productive. And I should also point out today, Laura, as well, that shortly after the new kickoff rule passes, the Pittsburgh Steelers reached agreement with Cordarrelle Patterson, who's returned 9 kicks for touchdowns on a 2-year deal. So Patterson rejoins Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh. His former head coach is the offensive coordinator there, and the Steelers add an offensive coordinator, or an offensive weapon, in Cordarrelle Patterson on a 2-year, $6 million deal.
Yeah, it was probably important, and Jeff Darlington alluded to this earlier, to get this done before the draft so teams are aware and they can maybe draft some players, especially in a group of talented offensive weapons in this draft class, to maybe make some differences there. Adam, hang tight. We're coming back to you. Let's bring in Andrew Hawkins now, though, because, Hawk, you returned kicks in college. How do you see the new rule affecting games this fall?
I love it. What you're going to get is more football and safer, which should be the impetus of any rule change. When you think about the safety of the kickoff or kickoff return, it's not so much the safety of the returner. Yes, that is a big deal because you're getting fast collisions, but it's the people on the kickoff team. I also was a special team ace for the first half of my career, and the positions you didn't want to play were L4, L5, R4 and R5, which are the two players right beside the kicker, because I liken it to running full speed through a haunted house with trap doors. And if you go through a trap door, there is consequences with bad intentions, with ear hole shots. If you look right, the hit could come from the left. In this new version, there's going to be less high impact shots, and we're going to get more returns. The play was dying. It was down to roughly 20% return rate. In the XFL, and shout out to the XFL, Danny Garcia and The Rock for this innovation, they had a 90% return rate. So we're going to see these plays a lot more frequent, and teams, much like the Pittsburgh Steelers, will have to use personnel to make sure they have playmakers in place.
It can be such a momentum shifter. I'm also over here, like, I might have nightmares thinking about that haunted house you're talking about. Is there a guy, Hawk, that you want to see back there returning kicks now, knowing that this rule will be in effect?
There's quite a few, but one specifically is Tyreek Hill. The big reason why these big playmakers aren't on kickoff return is because it's too high of a risk of injury. But since the players are in this very, very close proximity, it kind of lessens that. So you're going to get the players who have stop-and-go ability, since nobody's at full speed, they become an advantage here. And Tyreek Hill, you've heard the term, he can make a guy miss in a phone booth. Well, this new version of Kickoff is the phone booth that they talk about. So get some of these playmakers back there and let's see what they got.
Hawk, more from you coming in just a minute, but lots of other news coming out of the meetings, including the matchup at the Hall of Fame game this summer. Adam, what do we know about that?
Laura, the Hall of Fame game, Thursday night, August 1st, the Houston Texans versus the Chicago Bears in Canton, Ohio. The Bears have a huge year with Hall of Fame entry Steve McMichael, Devin Hester, others. So the Bears are going to be honored at the Hall of Fame game, and the two teams will square off that Thursday night as the NFL season kicks off. And speaking of games, the NFL is planning to have a Christmas Day doubleheader on Christmas Day, two games that day. Now, the two teams, or the four teams that play that day, all will have played on Saturday, December 21st. So the league is looking at it like a team in season that plays on Sunday and has to play on Thursday. This time they'll play on Saturday, and then they'll play on Wednesday. But the NFL is not letting the NBA have that day to itself, even on a Wednesday. The NFL wants a piece of the action, and there will be an NFL doubleheader on Wednesday, Christmas Day, this upcoming season.
I think I know why they want a piece of the action. Last year's Chiefs-Raiders Christmas game averaged 29.2 million viewers, which was the most watched Christmas game in 34 years. More from you, Adam Cummins. Let's get to New York. The Giants quarterbacks posted a 34 total QBR last year, which ranked 29th in the NFL. It was the worst QBR by the Giants in any season since the metric began in 2006. And on top of that, New York ranked 27th in yards per attempt, 26th in touchdown to interception ratio, and last with 85 sacks taken. So Giants owner John Mara didn't rule out taking a quarterback earlier in the draft, saying yesterday, quote, if they fall in love with a quarterback and believe that it's worth pick number six or moving up, I certainly would support that. So earlier today, head coach Brian Daboll talked about how he assesses that position.
You're watching everything and seeing how, you know, they respond, how they respond in two-minute situations, how they respond after an interception, what's the play look like, you know, after a few bad plays or a few incompletions. Again, there's no exact science in it. It's obvious that there isn't. You do the best job you can. You know, I love doing it. I love evaluating the quarterbacks. I love meeting with the quarterbacks. It's an awesome position to work with, and it's a really fun position to evaluate.
I like that Daboll still had his name tag on there. Giants reporter Jordan Renan joins us now. And Jordan, how realistic is it that the quarterback is where they go at number six for New York?
Well, here's how we know it's a real possibility, Laura. The Giants are looking strongly at the quarterbacks. They're using their precious time before the draft here. Joe Shane went to the USC Pro Day recently. You have J.J. McCarthy, Drake May. Both already did pre-draft visits with the Giants. And Coach Brian Daboll, he said today that he's going to be going to some pro days coming up. Well, guess whose pro day is Wednesday? Jaden Daniels at LSU on Thursday, Drake May at North Carolina. And one thing John Mara, the Giants owner, pointed out, and it really stood out to me, he said that the front office told him this was the most talented group of quarterbacks to come out in recent years. With that being said, this is a team that can get out of the Daniel Jones deal after this year. He has an injury history, they know. Three injuries in 3 years. Is that something they want to build around? The question that they're going to have to answer, or that's really going to determine maybe whether they get a quarterback, is there going to actually be one of the top quarterbacks available when they pick at number six?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's the issue for a lot of these teams. They're thinking, how high do I actually have to get up there to get one of them? Thanks to Jordan for the latest there. Let's go to a little bit more conversation around all of this. Tim, when you think about everything that's going to happen here, is it right to move on from Daniel Jones, especially knowing the contract that they did give him?
I actually think that it is, Laura, and not because, look, I would sit and debate what type of player Daniel Jones is, and I think while that certainly is up for debate, I think you can boil it down to his inability to stay healthy. And sometimes it's out of the player's control, I get that, but to me this isn't really all that different than Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco when it was, you know, his production was good when he was available, but when he wasn't, you saw how the team would end up suffering. And so that's what happened in New York. I think it boils down to Can you stay healthy or can't you? The quarterbacks that are in this draft, how close you are to getting somebody that is a really good prospect at the position. And so, look, I think that when you're at six, you're certainly in striking distance to get to the top three if you're not comfortable with taking one at six, or maybe even moving back and taking somebody later in the first round. But I think they have to go quarterback in the first round.
I agree. I mean, you need a quarterback. Daniel Jones has played solid at certain times, but he's coming off of an injury. And your future of this organization is in your hands, and you are in prime position. And is what we know in recent years, it is really tough to get in these positions to get a quarterback. And to Coach O'Connell's point, this is a really deep class. Mara actually likened it to 2004 when they got Eli Manning and they traded for him and they had Kerry Collins. And he felt like, you know what, if they have a quarterback that's on the board that they think could change the face of the franchise and what their fate is going forward, you got to pull the trigger. And I think that's a scenario that the Giants are in. They understand that this is a deep class and they have to look for the opportunity to upgrade that position for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, as you heard our Giants reporter Jordan Renan say, the Giants can get out of the Daniel Jones contract after the 2024 season. All it costs is a $22 million dead cap hit, which they can spread out. All right, still to come here on NFL Live, J.J. McCarthy has been rising up the mock draft boards as we get closer to the NFL draft. And here who former GM Mike Tannenbaum has selecting the Michigan quarterback early in the top five. It might not be who you think. Where's J.J. McCarthy going, according to Mike T? We'll be right back with that answer.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mike Tannenbaum, GM Mock Draft, hit ESPN.com this morning. He threw some major curveballs, as he likes to do sometimes. Let's dive right in. Okay, Mike T has six quarterbacks being drafted in the first round of his mock draft, which you can see at ESPN.com. No surprises with the top three picks going in the first three. The top three QBs going in the first three picks. He's got J.J. McCarthy going fourth to the Cardinals, Bo Nix going 12th to the Broncos, and Michael Penix Jr. going 19th to the Rams. It'd be the first time ever that six quarterbacks went in the top 20 picks. All right, so let's spend some time as we've got Mike here in the studio. I love when you throw these curveballs, by the way, okay? Get them out there. Let's go to J.J. McCarthy at pick number four, because that one's pretty interesting. What was the thought process there?
Laura, I love him. I've seen him now for the better part of 3 years, got to many of their practices, a lot of their games. He's 6'2", 220. He started 28 games. He's only lost one. That's the best one loss for the last 50 years. When you look at third down, third and seven or longer, he's the most efficient quarterback in college football. And in big moments, going back to 2022, Illinois, they're down at home. Cold game brings them back. Alabama, you know, in the semifinals this year, made huge plays. And then, as you're seeing here, almost had 1,000 yards rushing. So there are no holes in his game. He's the right prototype. He has great intangibles. The character sets the floor. The tape sets the floor. The character sets the ceiling. His ceiling is limitless. And if I'm Arizona and I could get somebody that is $27 million a year cheaper, 6 years younger, and more durable, it's a no-brainer in my opinion.
Yeah, Tim, I'm thinking this all sounds good, but Arizona has a quarterback, and his name's Kyler Murray.
That's a bit of a factor. Listen, sometimes Mike will throw these curveballs, as you said, and I'm like, I don't know. But like, I have to be honest with you on this one. Like, I don't hate it whatsoever. And look, for J.J. McCarthy, that evaluation of J.J. McCarthy, I think, will be a critical component to it. Yes, younger. Yes, cheaper. Are you sure that you're getting the type of player that Mike described? Now, I would say this about McCarthy. Everything Mike said is true. Played big in big moments. Obviously, they had a lot of success there. Had to compete for the job there at Michigan. So there's a bit of being battle tested that I certainly would like. I would say this. Because of the offense that they ran at Michigan and how good they were at running the football, I do think the evaluation of him as a passer is tougher than it is on the evaluation for other guys. Just for some perspective, Like, he's like, you know, a little over 700, you know, attempts in college. Jaden Daniels has nearly 1,500.
Yeah.
And so I think that, look, it's tough to hold that against him. You know, it's out of his control. But it does, you know, prevent you from really understanding who he is as a passer, because there were games where he wasn't all that accurate and didn't really have a chance to prove that he could be accurate and kind of respond from it.
Yeah, the tape, to your point, is a little hard to evaluate, but he does win, as Mike alluded to. What about the Vikings and J.J. McCarthy? Did it make sense maybe as a fit for them?
Absolutely. Again, they're saying there were two first-round picks, so presumptively they're going to go up for a quarterback. So, you know, when you think about going from 11 to 4, that's sort of like a win-win from a standpoint. Minnesota could get their quarterback. Arizona could get back. And we had to almost resuscitate Mel Kiper when I had these receivers, you know, falling back a little bit. But Arizona could get a receiver somewhere between 9 and 11 if they move back at some point. So I think that's certainly a possibility as we get closer to the draft.
All right, there were some more major surprises in this mock draft, so we're going to continue on with those. The wide receiver ranks really took some people by surprise. You've got Malik Nabers going to the Giants at 6. Marvin Harrison Jr. falling all the way to the Bears at 9. Rome Odunze goes 14 to the Saints, and Brian Thomas Jr. goes to the Jags at 17. A.D. Mitchell goes to the Steelers at 20, followed by Ladd McConkey going to the Cardinals at 27. Then the speedster Xavier Worthy taken by the Bills at 28. So, Mike, why is Harrison all the way down at number 9 for you to the Bears?
Okay, I love Marvin Harrison. I see Larry Fitzgerald, Laura. It's not a negative against Marvin Harrison, but if we're looking at the Giants, they were at the bottom of the league in points scored again. And they drafted Jalin Hyatt last year. Let's give him a grade of incomplete. But Malik Nabers is a point scorer. They need to score points. He had 17 yards per catch, 14 touchdowns. Here he is running right by Alabama. And you see this time and time again. Before the ball, once the ball's in his hands, he is a dynamic playmaker. So if you're thinking about, Do I want Tyreek Hill or do I want Larry Fitzgerald? Now, look, I'm not saying Malik Nabers is Tyreek Hill, but he's in that conversation in terms of an explosive playmaker. And that's why for the New York Giants in 2024, I'm taking speed over size.
Yeah, I like Nabers. So let me preface that with this. I think he has as high of a ceiling as Marvin Harrison Jr. That being said, when you got two talents that are so good at wide receiver the way that they've put on tape, I got to start nitpicking a little bit. And I look at the floor of it, and I think Marvin Harrison Jr. has the highest floor because he plays outside. He can play inside. Yeah. He has the footwork on the release. But even when he doesn't get clean releases with his footwork and they get hands on him, he can run right through them at his size like they're not even there. And that's going to be a big deal for these young quarterbacks that are looking for a big-time wide receiver. I love Nabers. I think he is lightning in a bottle. But for my money, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the more surefire pick at wide receiver going into this draft.
It does seem like the gaps closed a little bit on those two, whereas so many people had Marvin Harrison Jr. just as a clear-cut number one, Malik Nabers sneaking up on him a little bit. There has been just one wide receiver class where one draft class where seven wideouts went in the first round. It was in 2004, and as we've talked about, Larry Fitzgerald headlined that draft class, went third overall to the Cardinals. Let's go to next year's draft. Why not, okay? But the reason why is because there was something in the news today. Shedeur Sanders has already made it clear that he wants to go number one overall. His father and coach, Dion, saying this week that he'll Eli the draft, referencing an attempt to avoid teams he doesn't want to play for. Here's more from what Dion said.
Where do you predict Shedeur and Travis going in the draft?
Top four.
Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from one through four. One of them is going to be one. The latter one would not go behind four. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't gonna happen.
It's gonna okay, be a you want point?
It's gonna be a, it's not a, I'm sorry, it's gonna be an Eli.
All right, so certainly like Dion's earned some of this and maybe all of it, right? But as a GM, how do you deal with a situation like that?
This is a fascinating conversation. This is the tip of the iceberg, Laura, and here's why. Those two players actually could pull off by saying to a team, you know what, I've made enough money in college because of NIL, that team X, I don't want to go there. I don't like the coach. I don't like the GM. I don't like the owner, and I'm going to sit out. And, Laura, I would have told you 99.9% of the time up until 3 years ago, GMs, coaches, they would laugh at that scenario. But given the fact that they're going to come out with seven figures in their pocket because these types of players are that transcendent, they're going to be able to scare teams enough where if I'm the GM and I have to go back to the owner and say, hey, there's a real chance they're not going to show up and they're going to sit out a year, that would be a massive embarrassment to any organization, and that would factor into the decision making.
Yeah, Sanders has some options, right? There are estimations out there that he's made over $4 million in NIL money last season. He's got deals with Topps, Beats by Dre, Under Armour, Gatorade, Mercedes-Benz, amongst other. We are going to be on this for the next year. So we'll talk a lot more about that. Up next on NFL Live, Dak Prescott is heading into the final year of his deal with no sign of an extension in sight. But find out why Hawk thinks Dak has all the leverage over Cowboys owner Jerry Jones next. We'll see if Jerry's listening. We'll be right back. Hey, how about this? The inaugural United Football League season kicks off this weekend. We'll have unparalleled access with a doubleheader on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus this Sunday. The D.C. Defenders taking on the San Antonio Brahmas at noon Eastern. And then the Houston Roughnecks host the Memphis Showboat. Spring football has never been better. Don't miss it. Let's go to Dallas, where Dak Prescott was one of the most productive quarterbacks in the NFL last season. You see the numbers here. He ranked in the top three in completion percentage, touchdown interception ratio, total QBR, and off-target percentage. Owner Jerry Jones talked about the Dak contract earlier today.
Not taking anything away from Dak. Wants to do any and everything he can on and off the field to help us win. We are where we are. We have our contract. We're locked and loaded for this year. We can see as we move along how we are thinking, we inclusive of everybody here, us, Dak, and we'll see what we do. I don't have anything to report today.
It's all like going toward next year. Hawk, what do you now make about how this has all been handled by Jerry Jones and company?
Jerry Jones, you are playing with fire, brother. I think he's under this assumption that we are still in the old ways of negotiation where it's winner takes all. That's the only way to win a deal. And that is not good business. And it won't work in this scenario. He doesn't have any leverage against Dak Prescott. And the longer this drags on, the more Dak Prescott is likely to say, well, let me go see what the market says. They lucked up the last time. And the luck is probably not a good way to put it, just because he got hurt. And then they had more leverage in that scenario. If Dak goes into this season with the mindset, you know what, I'm going to play this out and then hit the market, he'll have the biggest contract we've probably ever seen from a quarterback, and it would be deservingly so based on what he's done and his gumption to wait to the end to negotiate a new contract.
Okay, Hawk's right about this. The waiting is what killed him the first time when you look at what happened. Dak Prescott, people need to remember this. Like, this is the Dallas Cowboys. For a while, the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, who was winning games and playing at a high level, was making like $800,000. He was the biggest bargain in all of sports. And when they negotiated with Dak back then, they tried to hold the fact that he hadn't made a ton of money yet against him to try to get him to take an undermarket deal. Well, he stared Jerry Jones down, played at a high level, and so he ended up, you know, getting to the franchise tag and then ultimately putting them in this point where now the cap hit for him is over $55 million. Like, he's won the game of chicken with Jerry Jones in the past. And ultimately, like, just as Hawk said, he's going to win it again. This reminds me of the Drew Brees situation a little bit. Like, look, Drew was getting older. His cap number was really high. You had to keep extending him out. Now, the benefit for the Saints was Drew continued to play at a high level. Like, that needs to happen in Dallas. And Dallas really doesn't have a choice other than to have it happen with Dak Prescott.
You know, Hawk, some have wondered, like, Mike McCarthy's deal lines up with Dak's deal. Do they try to see how all that plays out with both of them? But it still feels like, to your point, the leverage is with Dak. How do you think McCarthy factors in here as Jerry looks at it?
I think he's B to Dak Prescott's A because, again, the leverage is all on Dak. He has stared them down, and to Tim's point, he has money now. That's not going to work this go-around. He's okay to wait.
Good point. Time for one more thing before we go. And as the owners' meetings wrap up, it's a good reminder that Jim Harbaugh is officially back in the NFL, complete with some absurd sound bites.
I have no opening statement other than, hello, welcome. Inside our building, I mean, there's no invisible fences, and nobody was born on third base.
had this vision in my head, like some of those Survivor programs. He's the one who plays quarterback of all the quarterbacks that are in the draft. There's great quarterbacks in the draft. I think he plays quarterback the best of any quarterback in the draft.
We definitely have the number 5 pick. That's what we got.
That's like a fist, you know. There's 5 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That whole Survivor Island, you know, kind of theme keeps kind of playing in my mind. Don't get a big head, you know. That's a trap. That's a deep, dark, lonely trap. I'm 100 feet from Greg Roman. Hero's got a really, really good RV. It's been great, you know? I mean, being myself, you know, who's got it better?
Trying to figure out what was my favorite there. I think when he was like, it's the fist, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he counts out the finger. I mean, some of those were taken out of context, Tim, but he's classic Harbaugh, isn't he?
Well, and now because he's coaching the NFL, he has to talk to the media.
Yeah.
And so with that, we're all going to be blessed with some of that.
We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live, where we'll keep talking to you, too.